Yeah, that's right. Good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. It's been a wonderful, wonderful week, and I praise the Lord for that. It's always an honor and a privilege to be in the house of the Lord, but especially in this house with this brother and sister in the Lord. Been part of our life for a long, long time, and I'm grateful for that. I pray for you every week. We pray together every week, every Sunday morning. We pray for you. We pray for Faith Baptist Church. We pray together. Sometimes we're praying for different things. But it helps me tonight to be able to see some of the things that I've been praying for. I praise the Lord for that. So it's been a great week for me, and I praise the Lord for that. This morning or tonight, I want to share a few things with you tonight. I know you're getting ready to do Experiencing God, and let me just encourage you to do that. And you'll learn the seven realities of experiencing God. One of them is God is always at work around you. That's where you want to be, amen. That's where chair number one is, amen. God pursues a continuous love relationship with you that's real and personal. Amen. Aren't you glad God pursuing us? God pursuing you. God doesn't want you to be lost in the first year. God doesn't want you to have a maybe salvation. He wants you to have a no-so salvation. He wants you to be saved. So God certainly doesn't want you to be lukewarm. He doesn't want you to be in a backslidden condition. He wants you to be up front and center. So God pursues a love relationship with you that's real and personal. Hey, God speaks for the Holy Spirit, amen, through the Word, through prayer, through church, and He reveals Himself, His purpose, and His way. God, here it is, God invites you to work with Him always, always leads you to a crisis of belief. That's the question that you have to ask yourself, you know, that what do you really believe about God? You can come to know God by experience as you obey Him, as He works through you. God wants to work through you. Church, listen, He wants to work through you. I want you to take your Bible tonight, and I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. I know we've been talking, about the chairs all week, and I know you're tired of hearing the chairs, but here's the thing, long after I'm gone and you forgot who I was, I'll always be identified as that guy that brought the chairs, amen? But I want to know, and so it's been my purpose, it's been God's vision in my life that I would get everybody that I could out of those last three chairs into the first chair. And I trust tonight if you're in that fourth chair over there and don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a special guest in this house tonight. Amen. And so we're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're here. Jesus Christ died on the cross at Calvary for you, just so He can give you an invitation tonight to come accept Him as personal Lord and Savior. Don't pass up that opportunity. God gives it to you tonight. Some people think that everybody's going to go to heaven. It's not going to happen that way. It's going to be a narrow way, the Scripture says. I mean, we talked about that Sunday morning. There's a narrow way, and few be there that find it. Everybody's not going to heaven. Everybody's not going to heaven. So you have to purposely, you have to, in your mind, you have to come to recognize your lostness, your need of a Savior, repent of your sins, invite Jesus Christ to come into your life. We learned Sunday morning, it's a broad way. It's a broad way. There's a broad way, and there'll be many that will go that way. Matter of fact, Scripture says that hell will have to be broadened out, made bigger because of all the people that's going to leave this world without Jesus. How sad. How sad. And then we come Sunday night to trust Him. And so, church, we have to have that faith. Without faith, it's impossible to trust. It's impossible to please Him. And we want to be pleasing to God. And then Monday night, we'll look at the wisdom of God. The only reason we don't have wisdom to live this life, and we're not asking God. And all of us need God in the wisdom all the time. And then we find that, listen, each of us in this room tonight has a testimony about these chairs in your life. Either you're lost and you're still there, or you're lost and there's a time, appointed place, time in your life where God saves you and he moved you to the first chair. And then the rest of it is what God's done for me since then. And I told you a little bit about that, about my life last night. God's still doing that. Listen, I still spend most of my time in this chair. Is it a struggle? It's a struggle. Am I perfect? No. But I have an ongoing love relationship with God, and God pursues that. And times in my life when things are not well in my life, the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of me, he convicts me of that. And then it's my responsibility to respond to the Holy Spirit. And so my purpose in here tonight is showing you and helping you to learn how to live, how to lead out of this chair as a child of God. How can we do that? What kind of provisions that God gives us? God wants you in that chair because he wants you there. He makes provision. He does that in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Let's look at it tonight. Verse number 12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. So he's calling us out as children of God tonight. He's calling us out hopefully tonight, not in the second chair, but in the first chair. He's calling us out tonight. And then he said, hey, listen, put on these things. Put these things in your life. Because listen, we've taken on the mind of Christ. This is not, we've taken on the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. And so God's made all the provisions. God saved us. He gives us a new nature. He's empowered us through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God leads us and teaches us and does all the things in our life. And so he's telling us tonight, put on tender mercy. Can't do that in the flesh, did you know? You can't do that in the second chair. Matter of fact, the reason why you're in the second chair is because you wouldn't be in obedience. Put on tender mercy. Kindness. And it's out of the kindness of God's people as they live out in that first chair that people say to them. One young man said to me one night, said, preacher, I don't know what he has. I don't know what's going on in his life. And I've been watching him for a while, and my question to you is, whatever he has, that's what I want. That's letting your light shine before Jesus, amen, out of that first chair. And so put on tender mercy, put on kindness, put on humility, put on meekness. You know what meekness is? It's power under control. Power under control. And so we have power all the time. It's under control. Our electricity is power under control. Our heating systems are power under control. And so when we're under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, it's power under control. And so he says for us to put on meekness, long suffering. And then in verse 13 he says, bear you one another's burdens. Bear you one another's burdens. So that means that we, as we operate out of this first chair, that we're concerned about our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're concerned about them. We're praying for them. We're reaching out to them. We're praying with them. And all the time when people are mentioning things, your pastor and your wife, when people mention things to them, they stop and pray for them. And that's good. And so bearing with one another. And that's thinking about one another. Not thinking about others more than yourself. Bearing with one another. Here it is. And forgiving one another. And then he says, if anyone has a complaint against another, hear me now, even as Christ forgive you, so you also must do. We'll look at that a little deeper earlier. Think about what that says. Now, and so there's responsibilities that we operating in as we're leading out of this first year in a right relationship with God. Verse 14 says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So the love that comes from God is an agape love. Amen? It's an agape love. Verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And so here's what we have to understand. So when God gives you a peace about something, you know what? That settles it. When you're praying for an individual, listen, during COVID, let me tell you this testimony. During COVID, My wife and I got COVID, and we got real sick. My wife got a whole lot sicker than I am. We couldn't get anybody to look at because everybody's afraid they're going to get COVID from us. And so I had to find some church members that knew somebody in the hospital that could get us to go around all the red tape and get somebody to X-ray us. And when we finally did that, she got us in. We went in and got some X-rays and found out that we had that had COVID lungs. And so that'll scare you a little bit. You know, there are people around us that were dying. There are pastors around us that were dying. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I need a peace. Hey, listen, though, people around you dying, those kind of things, and what did I do? I stayed in this chair, I promise you. If I wasn't in this chair, I was going to get in it right fast, amen? And I began to say, God, speak to me. And I went to the Word of God. I went to the Word of God, Brother John. I went to the Word of God and began to read through the Word of God. And I come across this passage that said, this sickness is not unto death. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. I'm telling you now, I come unglued, amen? Hey, I get to live another day. And listen, when God said that, listen, that settled it. That peace, when God gives you peace, that settles it. So when you pray and asking God, listen, He gives you peace, hey, that settles it. I give that to you extra. I didn't mean to say that. Anyway, hey, good. And so we're to let the peace of God rule in our heart. It says, which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Church, listen, there ever been a time when we've got to, hey, listen, stop and thank God? Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank the Lord for all the things. Listen, you just have to go overseas and make a few trips over there to realize how blessed you are. Amen. Verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. There's that word wisdom again. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Aren't you glad we have a time of praising the Lord. Verse 17. And whatever you do. And whatever you do. Now remember, we're operating out of the first chair. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks to God and the Father through Him. You see, Paul talked about the battle in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, when he said this. When he said, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And so there is a conflict between the flesh and the spirit. You see, we still have the first year only has one nature, amen. And when they come to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they take on a new nature. And that's what we're after tonight. We're after feeding this new nature that God has given us. And so Paul, the writer here, is telling us, you know, all these things we're to put on. We're to put on. So whenever a child of God, when people say, hey, listen, the Christian life is a life of ease, filled with constant victories and endless mountaintops, quite simply, life, that's a lie. In fact, as we're operating out of this first year, it's a constant battle. We're in a battle. The flesh, which we were born with, has its own agenda. How many of you know that? The flesh has its own agenda. Look at it, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And you, He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Aren't you glad that God made you alive? Amen. Brought you out of that first chair, brought you out of the fourth chair, put you in the first chair. And then in verse 2 it says, in which you walk according to the courses of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit who works in the son of disobedience, among also we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Aren't you glad that doesn't describe you anymore? and the spiritual man that is created in us at salvation has another plan. The flesh has one plan, and the spirit has another. And so therefore, we often feel that, you know, we're going through a tug of war. And so sometimes we feel like, you know, we're struggling between chairs sometimes, and it's just that natural battle that comes in our life. And sometimes we feel like, you know, it's a roller coaster. But we know that God, when God saved us, He placed us in this chair, and God has a plan for us. And so that's why on Sunday night we talked about, you got to trust Him. You got to trust him to take care of this, those kind of things. Sometimes we tell our children, they don't understand. Listen, they don't have the patience that they need to have. And sometimes mom and daddy just say, hey, listen, you just got to trust mom and dad. Take care of this. You just got to trust them. Sometimes they'll wake up in the night. Sometimes they'll wake up in the night. And they're afraid. You say, you just got to trust mom and dad. It's going to be all right. Mom and dad's not going to let anything happen to you. And so they have children have to come to trust you. And so God is saying to us tonight, listen, you have to trust me. And so here it is. So here's the first thing. First characteristic in leading out of this first chair tonight is by new deeds. There's a change that takes place in our life. And so there's a putting off. There's a putting off for all. So if you back up a little bit in the chapter, begin to tell you all the things to take off. Take off these things. All the things that within the old nature, you take off all those things. Your language changes. Listen, your attitude changes. Who you are changes. Where you go changes. What you do changes. And so there's that putting off. And all of it. And so you take all of it. And when we are saved, to put that stuff off, forever, listen, that old man, we want him to be dead, right? We want him to be dead. We want him to be changed. It's like, you know, so when we make changes in our life, we don't want to go back. When you find that bride in your life and you want to start dating, or you want to be engaged, or you want to be married, listen, you expect each other to change. You don't want them to go back. That's why we have divorce in America, all right? So God's changed us, and so He changed us. And those things, you take those things off, you put on those things. So putting on what here is a new deed, new things in your life. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. To put off always means put off one step. To put on the text says that we're to sink into. And so we're taking off the old nature, and now we have this new nature, and we're sliding into it. In other words, it becomes part of us. It becomes part of us. And then we begin to operate out of that. It's like getting in your car. When you get in your car, listen, tomorrow morning I'll slide into my car, and all of a sudden I'll be a part of that car. And while I'm in that car, listen, if I don't fasten my seatbelt, listen, bang, bang, bang. If I decide, listen, the other morning I backed out of the driveway and I forgot something, and I thought I was going to back up. And so I thought, instead of using my backup camera, I thought I'd just open my door and look out beside the car, make sure I didn't run over anything. Open my door, put it in reverse, and it stopped. You can't do that. I was coming down here the other day, and I decided I was going to change lanes, and I put my blinker on, and I called it, whoop, no, you won't. The best one was I pulled out in front of somebody when I first got my car, and the car stopped in the middle of the road. People blowing the horns everywhere, and I hit it flat on the floor, and the car just stuck there. I ain't going nowhere. Tells me when my tires are low. Tells me all those things. I had a guitar fixed for a company. I had a tar kit going low, and I pulled up to the gas station. We pulled up to where the air tank is, and I put air in my tar, and all of a sudden I heard, bang, my horn went off. I thought, well, what was that? And so we had to put air in the other tire. And before I could get my air gauge out and test the pressure on the tire, the cord went off again. And somebody said, "You know what that is, don't you?" And I said, "When you get to the pressure that's supposed to be, the horn blows. It tells you this, and it tells you, hey, listen, that's enough. While it blows your mind. But listen, when we slide into that car and all those things and all that technology around it trying to keep us safe, but listen, when we slide into God, we have the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And when you try to back up into a place where you don't need to be, the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you. And he holds on to you and he convicts you. And when you decide, hey, listen, I want to get in the other lane, and the Holy Spirit of God will say, no, there's danger over there. And so that's what this passage of Scripture says. The deeds become new as we operate in this new chair. We slide into that new nature. And we're feeding this new nature. And we're no longer driving those cars, you know, in the 50s. Hey, I remember what my brother John, I remember when we had push button cars, amen. They got out of that, but it's all the things, so they go back to it. Go back to it. That's what we do sometimes, right? Get in this first year and we're going along. We run into issues and problems in our life. And sometimes we just want to, sometimes instead of dealing with, we just slide back. This is a lot easier in this chair sometimes. Sometimes it's easier just not to have to deal with that. The Holy Spirit of God inside of us, and he's stopping us, and he's blowing his spiritual horn at us and telling us, you got to get back over here. God's going to take care of you. God's going to protect you because you slid into him, and God wants to do that. And then we find that fruit of the Spirit. You see this new life that energizes us, led by the Spirit of God, it manifests itself in us. In Galatians chapter 5, that those spiritual gifts are the fruits of the Spirit. You see, when you're leading in the first chair, that you begin to produce the fruits of the Spirit. You can't do that in any of those other chairs. You can only do it in the first chair. So when you're leading in the first chair, you have that fruit of love. It's an agape love. It's an unconditional love. It's one that was introduced to us by the Lord Jesus himself. It's an unconditional love, and it produces joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness and goodness and fruitfulness, gentleness and self-control. There's that forgiving spirit. Now, the forgiveness is different than the rest of the world. Amen? Forgiveness and so in the old nature, in our old nature, listen, we only take care of ourselves. We want to be forgiven, but we don't want to forgive. We don't want to recognize our wrong, right? My brother was used to taunt my mother all the time and aggravate her, and she was a little bitty thing, and sometimes he'd run from her, and this time he run from her, and so it was way back there too when, hey, we've got them big long heels now today, right? Let's come back. She had those big high heels, and so she reached down and pulled one of them off. And then so as he was cutting out the door, you know, she launched it at him. And about that time, I come around the corner trying to figure out what was going on, and I caught that heel right in the face. My brother was flying out the door laughing. And I thought, surely my mother, I'm sitting there, you know, she said, surely she would say she's sorry. She said, not this time, big boy. You were in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm not saying I'm sorry. Stay out of the way, all right? Stay out of the way. So we have to, and so it's different when you're leading in this chair, forgiveness is different. Different. It's different. So when we read the scripture, it says, when Christ reigns in our hearts in the first year, there will be no room for grudges, no room for unforgiveness, no room for hating somebody, but only
forgiveness. Listen to what the text says. In verse 13, listen to what it says. Get this now, church. Listen to me. Get this. You're gonna operate in this first year. You need this. Bear you one another's burdens, forgiving one another. Ian said, if anyone has a complaint against another, you have a complaint against another, even as Christ forgive you. Are you hearing me? You also, listen to me, you also must do. One man said it this way. If you're going to operate in this chair, and you're a true child of God, and you're a true that child of God, there's nowhere in your vocabulary where you say, I cannot forgive you. In Christ, operating out of this chair, God didn't give you an option not to forgive. God didn't give you an option to say, I just can't forgive them. Now, I didn't say I agree with what they were doing. I'm saying to you tonight, God says, just like I forgive you, you must forgive them. And if you can't forgive them, then something is terribly wrong. You see, that's what happens in the second chair. I ain't do that. It's what happens in the third chair a lot of times. I ain't going to forgive that. I'm not going to, no. Never will I ever forgive. And so we must forgive. Now, Peter had that same concern as you and I have. And he thought, hey, sir, surely there's a limit to it. Amen. And so you know the story in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, I got a question. You ever come to the Lord and say, Lord, I got a question? Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And so he thought up a good number, up to seven times. That's good. Good biblical number, right? Seven times. You know, sometimes, you know, Jesus tells us no every now and then, right? Sometimes, a lot of times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And so what he was saying, listen, there's no limit. So if you're going to lead in the first chair, there's no limit to your forgiveness. Now, it's not saying that you uphold anybody's sin. It's not saying that you ignore somebody's sin. But it said you forgive them. And so there's some terrible things that happen in this life, and there's some terrible things that happen to us. And so what you got to understand is the reason behind the forgiveness. The weight of the baggage, listen, the weight of the baggage of unforgiveness will push you out of the first chair and out of leadership position, and it'll push you in the second chair. It's a baggage that, listen, God told you not to pick up. And so it's not, listen, and forgiveness is never for the other guy. The other gal, listen, the forgiveness is for you. You know, you heard that saying, you know, you're drinking poison and hoping somebody else is going to die. And so that's how the second chair operates, or even the third. So we allow it to burden us. So that's why, you don't have a choice. And if you have my new nature in you, it'll happen. If you have those right. Electronics in your car, listen, it won't let you run over somebody. God said, hey, listen, if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, He won't let you carry that burden. There's a reason behind why I'm telling you that as you lead in this new chair, you've got to have that forgiving spirit. Didn't want you to have that baggage. Forgiveness is is to grace. It literally means that Jesus has graced you. He's graced us in forgiving us, and we should likewise grace our brothers for them. And the other word is forbearance, understanding. That understand that none of the children of God, none of us are perfect, and we have arrived. So we don't sit in this chair and say, "Hey, listen, I've done past that. I'm done past making mistakes. I'm done past struggling with right and wrong. I'm done past all those things." And so never do I have a right to look down another brother and look down on him. Don't have no patience with him. And so those who have fallen. Listen, we got people in our life that fall sometimes. Sometimes they fall out of the chair. They fall out of the first chair, and then they're in the second chair. They've done something terribly wrong. We would be long suffering with them. Long suffering with them. And so here's the key. And so those individuals come in your life, and we had a young man that played in our praise team a long time ago, and he got caught doing some things in one of the stores he shouldn't have done. He got caught. Well, he didn't play on the praise team anymore. Now, we didn't look for an opportunity to kick him down. We wanted to recognize what he'd done was wrong. And to repent of that. And to repent of it. And ask God to forgive him. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. Here's what you do. You know, confess those things to the Lord. Confess those things. Now, don't act like you ain't ever done that before. Yeah, you don't act like you never made a mistake or did something on purpose, those kind of things. So 1 John 9, we all use that, amen? And so this young man did that, asked God to forgive him, stood before the church, asked him to forgive him, stood before the business, asked him to forgive him, and then listen. And so we nurtured him and helped him. And so several months later, he had come to the place where he was back where he needed to be. And so he was back on the praise team. Now, is that the thing to do? It's what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, you know, we that are spiritual. And listen to what 1 John chapter 13, verse 35 says. By all this we know that we are my disciples if we love one another. So we got to love them. And so there's that part of us that we got to forgive. We got to forgive. And even Peter, you got to forgive. And then there's that fragrance in verse 14, that fragrance of the Savior. You see what happens when that begins to, when the Holy Spirit of God begins to consume you and live out in this life, listen, then there becomes that fragrance about you. There begins that charisma about you, that people begin to see Jesus in you. And we praise the Lord for that. And then we put on the fullness of our spiritual life. And so what happens is that when we begin to in this church, when God speaks to us, in the quietness of the Word of God, God speaks to us, and then we hear God, and then we come obedient to Him. And so we have to have that. But there's that fragrance about it because we are in the center of God's will. We're listening to Him. We're being obedient to Him. Verse 15 says that we're full of the Spirit's life. The fullness of the Spirit demonstrates itself in peace and assurance. The peace of God, that peace of God that rules in our hearts. Salvation and assurance of it is forever settled in our life. And so God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, hey, examine yourself. And that's what God wants you to do this tonight. Church, listen, you need to examine yourself. We want everybody in this chair. And so God said, hey, I want everybody to examine yourself. That's what it says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourself as to where you are in the faith. Then he says, test yourself. Do you not know yourself? So the writer is saying, hey, listen, do you not know that you're lost? Do you not know that you have a form of godliness, but you're denying the power thereof? And you fake you're saved, but really you're not. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Hey, listen, church, listen. If Jesus Christ is in you, bless God, you know it. Amen? If Jesus is in you, you know it. And if you don't know that, there's a problem. There's a problem. Hey, listen, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He came into your life, you knew it. So that's why I said, examine yourself whether you're in the faith or not. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? You don't have to question that. You already know. Unless, indeed, you're disqualified. Hey, listen, if you can't just leave life like it is, if you're in the fourth chair, you can't just stay there. You can't stay there and expect to get to heaven. You'll be disqualified. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and your election sure. I'm sure. I know. If Jesus comes back tonight, listen, I'm out of here. I don't know where the rest of you are, but listen, if Jesus comes tonight, and He could, I'm out of here. And so, make your calling election sure, for if you do these things, listen to what He says, if you do these things, you will never stumble. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes and those kind of things, but what it does mean is you can see clearly. The best 20/20 vision that you can have spiritually is right in the center of God's will. Right in the center of God's will. Doing what God wants you to do. Recognizing and understanding. See what's in front of you. And know that that's the wrong way. Know that that'll stumble you up. You know that. So God said, hey, listen, as you guide in that chair, be careful. Be careful. Why? Because there's others that are following you. Huh? There's others following you, church. And it's great that you have a wonderful pastor. It's great that you have a wonderful pastor's wife. Listen, she has spoiled me rotten this week. I have to go home and readjust, amen? I promise you. I told Brother John I'm going to go home and give her some instruction. He said, you better not. I figure that's probably wise advice, amen? I figure that's wise advice. And so anyway, I guess I won't do that. Thank you for taking such good care of me, amen? So you got to examine yourself. And so, listen, in that first chair, leading that first chair, listen, the scripture says that yet you will not stumble. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, listen what it says. But let us who are of the day be sober. Church, listen, we got to be clear-minded. And clear-minded, and the best place to be clear-minded is in a spiritual right relationship with God in that first chair. Putting on the breastplate of faith. Gotta have faith. You can't please Him without it. Put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope of salvation. Put it on. And then secondly tonight, there's that characteristic of leading out of the first chair is by a new direction. We're leading out of a new direction. It's no longer the world. It's no longer the old flesh. It's no longer the influence of Satan. For believers, it's no longer. Listen, we're leading that chair. We turn that page out of the book. Amen. They're not leading anymore. That's the old life. We're writing a new chapter. We're writing a new epistle, the scripture says. Now, this new direction now, it is the will and the word of God. I got new directions. I got new directions. I got new directions. When I go home tomorrow, I'll get inside my car and I'll push a little button and I'll say, home. They'll give me some new directions than where I've been going this week. Listen, I've been up and down about every holler in 50 miles here. Amen. Some intentional, some not. But anyway, so when we're leading out of this chair, God gives us new directions. And now it's His will and His word. We're depending upon the Word of God. This is our sword. This is our spear. This is our direction. This is our roadmap. We're depending on it. Matter of fact, the Scripture says in verse 16, dwelling richly. There's some rich truth in this Word. And you'll find that in His first chair, in that right relationship with God, there's some rich truth in the Word of God. And so it's abundant. Here's the thought. Here's something to think about. Listen, the Word can't get into us until we first get into the Word. Listen, you can't follow the Lord. You can't follow the Lord in a closed book. Can't follow Him. Matter of fact, you can't get in this chair in a closed book. But once you get in this chair, you got to open it up. You got to open it up, and you got to read it. You got to draw. The Scripture said, "Dwell richly in the Word of God." And when you open it up and get into it, listen. When you get into it, listen. Then it will begin to control you. Dwelling. The word it means to be home in. Listen, you ought to be at home right here. You don't have to be nervous about this chair. You don't have to be nervous about being the center of God's will. You don't have to listen. You don't have to live. It's a good place to be. And it ought to feel comfortable. It ought to feel good when you open up the Word of God. You'll have confidence in God. It ought to be home. I'm home when I'm there. If I'm anywhere else besides that first chair, I'm miserable. Dwelling in a place at home, the Word of God should not feel out of place in our life. Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 said, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God." Amen? And so, out of that chair and out of the instructions of God's Word, it's the only way you can get to the place where you can be approved by God. When you're taking an exam or when you're doing something for somebody else, to their approval. So you want them. And so when they're watching over you and when you get it right, when it's to their approval, say, "There, that's what I want. That's what I want every time." And so when we're operating out the first year, we get to that place in our life. Hey, listen, I want to be approved by God. I'm not looking to the left, not looking to the right, not trying to please the world, the flesh, or devil, or anything else. Listen, I just want to be pleasing to God. A workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Thus says the Lord. You know why I'm doing what I'm doing? Thus saith the Lord. You know why I'm here? Thus saith the Lord. And that's why I'm here. Listen to what Psalms 119, you all know it by heart tonight. Psalms 119, 105 says this. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God, I'm going to turn it on. I'm going to turn the Word of God on in my life, Lord. And Lord, light up my feet and light up my path. And Lord, I know where I'm going. It's a new direction in the fact that we can declare the Word to be admonished. The word admonished means to be instructed. The saints of God are to have a heart for those that are lost, a heart for the wayward brother, to restore. Restore means to set a broken bone. We talked about that a while ago. In Galatians, and so in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brethren. So as we lead out of this first chair, and there are issues and problems going on out there, then when the instruction comes, it's not what It's not what I'm saying, but here's the instructions. I got them from God. I got them from God. And here's what it says. Here's what it says that we must do. Brother, if there's a man overtaken in a trespass, kill him. Run him off. Oh, no. I'm sorry. No. That was my brother over here in that other chair telling me that. That wasn't what God said. If a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, hey, you, if you want to sit in this chair, and you're going to be in tune with God, you're going to be spiritual, then the requirement is, you who sit in this chair, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Be gentle with him or her. Now listen, you always love them regardless. It's the sin that you hate, right? It's the sin that's caused all the problems. And so the scripture says, restore them in the spirit of gentleness. Be easy. And then he said, now listen, consider yourself. Think about yourself. If that was you, consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. So you got to be cautious. You got to be cautious, and you got to follow God's word to a T. Do what it says, and do what it says, and it'll come out all right. We got to restore, brother. That's the responsibility. If you're going to lead in that chair, and you're going to have to watch out for those, because listen, they're going to stumble. One of these days, it could be you. Somebody said, one day it was me. One day it was me. And so when we think about this new direction that depends on the word, it declares the word of God, admonishes the word of God, and then it demonstrates the word of God. And it does that before the world. The heart of praise, listen, the heart of praise fills the believer when the new man is in control. Listen, when you that are spiritual, then you've gently restored those who have fallen. And when that fallen comes back to the fold and begins to worship God again in the right spirit back in the first chair, listen, you rejoice. Thank God. Only the Lord knows what happened if they'd went the other direction. So we rejoice in that. We rejoice. And so we do that. We demonstrate that before the world. A heart that prays and feels that new nature. Everyone now. So the scripture says when we, this is how the world knows that you're my disciple. This is how you know. When you love the brother. We don't treat them like the world treats them. We don't treat them like the world treats them, but when you, this is how the world knows that you're his disciples, when you love one another. When you do that, listen, when a stranger walks into a church and they say, hey, listen, it was a loving church. That's a great testimony. Amen. It's a great testimony because they can sense that. They can sense that going on in your life. And so, we praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. So you come to that place, and so there's a new direction, and then there's that last character is that new decision. We've decided. I've decided. I like being in the first chair. I've decided that I'm excited about God speaking to me in the Word every day. I'm excited about when God gives me direction, when God speaks to me, and then somewhere on that day, I find out that God was exactly right. And so what happens is it changes our words. And so it changes our words, and then it controls our tongue. Well, sometimes we have trouble with our tongues. That Baptist folks, you see, in Kentucky. But see, when we're sitting in that first chair, it doesn't matter which state we're in. Listen, what happens is we've made a decision. I'm gonna allow the Lord to capture my thoughts before I get in trouble. Capture my thoughts, and we'll learn how to control our tongue when we are living out our life out of this new chair. Listen, God blessed us. James says, James had this to say when he said, if anyone among you think he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, and this one's religion is useless. It makes God sick. And he pukes it out of his mouth. Revelation says it. Says it in there. In the Word of God. Preacher, you're making those things up. Revelation chapter 3. Y'all going through the book of Revelation. I know your pastor shared it with you. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were either cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You see, when we're operating out of that first year, you know, be careful about what we say. Careful about what we say, our words. Yeah, not only you have to be careful about what you say, but you have to be careful about how you live, your ways. You see, when we are operating out of the first chair, this new nature is in control. Every action be weighed against this question. We used to hear it long, you know, years ago. What would Jesus do? Or what did Jesus do? What would Jesus do, or what did he do? People are watching your life. All right, you got problems? Which one? All right. What do you want me to do with it? You want me to turn it on? How about that? That work? That's Satan all the time doing something, right? Or carry him around the pocket. Watch your words. Watch your ways. God, as you operate out of that chair, God, does my actions bring honor to you? Or Lord, if I do this, Lord, will it dishonor your name? Because, well, that's going to determine, Lord, what I do next. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I have heard of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Watch our decisions in our words, in our ways, and in our witness. You see, you come to a place in your life to, hey, listen, I just want to be pleasing to God. And you'll come to that place. What His desires is and what He wants from me. And so the overriding question that we have in our life, as we operate out of that chair, Lord, how do I please you, Lord? How do I please you, Lord? I want away from this chair. I don't want to act like you, Lord. How do I please you, Lord? Though none go with me, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to be in this chair. And we're going to be here. We're going to serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. You have to ask yourself that question, you know, Lord, is this going to be pleasing to you, Lord? Lord, can I do this, Lord, and knowing that, Lord, it's going to be pleasing. And Lord, I give you praise and thanksgiving. Jesus will always be considered in that. Wherever he is, wherever Jesus is, you'll learn that experiencing God, that's where you want to be. Well, find out where he's working and join him. Your eyes are always better in this chair. Always. If you're going to look for God, find him in this chair. In that second chair, you're critical of people. You've lost your first love. You've lost your direction. You've lost your love for the Word. You've lost all that. However you live your life, revival's over. However you live your life, listen to me. However you live your life, you won't have to tell anybody which chair you're in. They'll know. If you just know it all and think, hey, listen, everybody goes to heaven, I'm all right just like I am. I'm going to do what I want to do, what I want to do. Everybody goes to heaven, including me. There's no fruit in his life. There's no fruit in her life. There's no time with God in their life. Church is not important. None of that. And there's no evidence of that in their life. And then so when it comes time to forgive somebody, they won't, because listen, they're operating out of an old nature. This chair, you hear a lot of people here, you people say, I want in that chair. I need to be in that chair. And if you keep listening to the lies of Satan, you will remain in this chair. And I promise you, he'll tell on you. These are the people in our churches. These are the people in our churches that are coming to me and say, preacher, I got some bad news. Me and my wife have decided to get a divorce. Don't know how that happened, but it has. A couple in our church, and so they decided, okay, it's over with. He told me, preacher, I wish you here to tell you, we both been operating this marriage out of this chair. Both of us. Things went terribly wrong. And I'm telling you, she's gone. She'll never be back. She'll never be back. But he said, I've learned something. I'm in the wrong chair. He asked God to forgive him. Whether God ever did anything in his life and changed anything, this very God, I repented. 1 John 1:9, he asked God to forgive him for his sins and to forgive him. God put him in the first chair. I'm telling you that things radically changed in his life. Radically changed in his life. Now there's a lot of things in his home that, because his wife was gone, his children was gone. And so there's things that, and so he turned off the TV. Turned off anything in his life. He didn't want, I don't want anything to distract me. I just want to focus on God. And he said to me, preacher, it's over with. It's over. I could never go back to it. But when he got in this chair, God began to change his mind. And he said, he called me one day and said, I'm going to do what I said I wasn't going to do. And so I've been talking to my wife. We're divorced. I've been talking to her. Come to find out, she thought she was in this chair. She thought she was saved. So out of watching him and his life in the first chair, she said, "I don't understand. I don't understand what's happened to him." You know, whatever's happened to him has not happened to me. And I thought I was safe when I was 18 years old. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And they both in this chair. And they faithful, matter of fact, called me today. God did the impossible. But both of them would tell you it would never happen outside of this chair. I don't know what else I can tell you, church, that I've not begged with you all week long. If you want yourself and your family and this church, along with this pastor and his wife, to strive for Jesus, it's got to come out of this chair. Got to come out of this chair. So my question to you tonight in closing, what chair are you really in? And it really doesn't matter which chair you're in, as long as you get in this chair tonight. That's what's important. When you stand before God, if you're not in this chair, if you're still in the fourth chair, you're going to hell. I don't say that to scare you. I say that, listen, because I love you. I want you in this chair. God wants you in this chair. Here's the thing. Who's in control of your life? Is it the flesh, the world, the things of this world, or the Spirit of God? Only you and God know which chair you're in. And you have to be honest enough to listen to God. So the invitation tonight is this. Get in a right relationship with God and do it tonight. Mommy and daddy, husbands, wives, spiritual leaders, get in it. God has a plan. God has a plan that's far above anything that you could think or ask. Big things God wants to do. The only reason, God's just waiting on us. Up to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you tonight. Lord, as we come before you tonight, Lord, we live a life and struggles and disappointments, all those things. We all go through those things in life, Lord, at one time or another. We've been in most of these chairs, and so, Lord, there's really just one chair that's pleasing to you. And, Lord, you long for, please, jealous that, Lord, that anybody's in any other chair besides this one. And so, Lord, I pray to God tonight, Lord, as we close these services. Lord, let's start Sunday morning. Lord, help us to start Sunday morning in the first chair. And Lord, I pray to God tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, it's every individual has to make up their mind what they're going to do. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, children that are above the age of accountability, Lord, is able to come and recognize, feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray, God, you do a big work here tonight. Lord, I pray, God, you show yourself. Lord, let it begin tonight in me. And Lord, we ask all that in Jesus' name. Amen. If there are singers would come tonight. I'd ask you tonight to stand to your feet tonight. Don't be afraid of the first chair. Don't be afraid to admit where you're at. What's important is where God wants to take you. You let him do that tonight, and I promise you God will bless you.